Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Let's give it a couple more minutes till the time's actually here.
Okay.
You have a good day?
I did. A busy one.
That's the way I felt today.
They're all busy. What's different? And thankful that they're busy.
Yes. I think we're starting with 201. Are we not doing it over?
Well, we said we were, although I think when I asked the last question, you gave a really good summary, I thought. So it's up to the others if they want to review it again.
Okay.
Did y'all have a class yesterday? I had the board meeting.
I think we'll review it because I don't remember where we are. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be 201.
Okay. Hashem Yehud Kud Shabari Hu Ishkin Te Bitchi Lurkimu Rukimu Rukimu Rukimu. Leyakda Hashem Yudhe Bavavhe Biyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asek Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kenenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadenu Kenenehu Vayiren Hashem Elokim Ed Hatzelah Asher Lakach Min ha'adam wigomer. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ketiv Elohim, hevin darka. Vehu yada et mekoma, haikira kegavnin, sagin it beya, elamahu Elohim. Havin darka kada avayven Hashem Elokim et hatzela da Torah shebe alpe tit bader derech kada hanoten bayam derech begine kach Elohim Haivin Darka. And Hashem Elohim built the tzela, the rib, which he had taken from man. Rabbi Shimon says, it is written Elohim understood her ways, and he knew her place. There are many ways of looking at it, but what is the principal way of interpreting Elohim understood? The Hebrew word is hevin, her ways. It is similar to, and Elohim built. The Hebrew word is vayaven, the rib. Even though rib means the oral Torah, which is malchut, in which there is a path, as it is written, that makes a way in the sea. The sea is malchut, and in it he made a path. Hence, and Elohim understood her ways. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I remember we, at first, it appeared that we were talking about Eve coming from the side of Adam. But then we saw that it really wasn't that. It was, I suppose we'd say, a metaphor for the Sephirot. I didn't catch Vavim last time as meaning rib.
It's Vayivin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I still can't see real well with his eyes, so. And my translation inside, you know, it doesn't say rib.
What does it say, side?
Uh-huh. It, two places. Whenever you said side twice, I mean rib twice. Mine says, and of the side, which with Hashem Elohim had taken from the man, he made. And then again, when you've got Vayivin, it says side, meaning the oral Torah, which is Malkut.
Right.
It's like this is this like the beginning of like Bina coming down to Malkut?
Well, it's the process of building the Sefirot, of creating the Sefirot, follows the same pattern as what Adam and Eve went through. So the Sefirot were built first, but then Adam and Eve are initially in Zeranpin. And then they go through a process of, you know, they start out back to back, and then they turn towards each other to be face to face. But the same process that the Sefirot go through, Adam and Eve go through. And that's where the play on words and is happening. Because the word Hevin is meaning understood. And understanding is the essence of Bina. Chokhmah is wisdom and Bina is understanding and not knowledge.
Right. Well, that's where I got Bina, was from understanding.
Right.
I would have thought, though, that rather than being, that Adam and Eve, rather than being from Zeranpin, that they would have been Malkut because they were formed from the earth. But that's probably just natural thinking.
Well, initially, the Garden of Eden was in Zeranpin. But after the fall, the Garden of Eden stayed in Zeranpin, but Malkut fell, and Adam and Eve fell out of the garden into the earth.
Okay.
Initially, the Garden of Eden was supposed to be the whole of the earth. But the fall precipitated a different structure. I'm going to go on to verse 202.
Okay. Before you do, can you say any more about the statement? I see the reference is Job, Eov. Elohim understood her ways and he knew her place. And they give the references, Eov 28, verse 23.
Right.
That doesn't ring a bell, so.
Well, it doesn't, I'm not that familiar with Job to be able to quote specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding her ways is a code word for Bina, as you understand. And
right.
her place is a code word for Malchut. So that's true of Job as well. But I don't know the reference. I'm not sure what it's referring to.
Right. I'll try to look that up sometime soon.
Okay, verse 202. Wehu yada et mekoma man mekoma da Torah shebi iktav deit ba daat Hashem Elokim Shem Male Liat Kana La Bekola Liyal Da It Kiriyat Hachma The It Kiriyat Bina Begin Dahawa Beshem Male Hashem Elokim the kol abishlimu bitreshimahan. And he knew her place. He asked, what is her place? And he answers, it is the written Torah, namely Zeranpin. The written Torah, which is the secret of the upper Zeranpin and of the Nukva from the chest upward, had knowledge. Hashem Elohim is a complete name to correct the Malchut in everything. Hence, the Mochin of the Nukva, or Malchut, are called Chachma and Bina, because they are created with full perfection from the two names of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Elohim, with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh corresponding to Chachma and Elohim to Bina. Hence, Elohim understood her ways relates to the emanation of Chachma that comes through Bina, and the emanation is called Elohim. And he knew her place is Dat, the light of Chasadim, and the secret of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, drawn from Abba through Zeranpin. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it says Elohim is a complete name to correct Malkut and everything. Is that one of the reasons why we say it seven times on Yom Kippur?
Yes.
I mean, we put in it, but I think it's Ha, Hashem Ha Elohim.
Correct.
Okay.
It's Hashem Hu Ha Elohim.
Right. Okay.
I would direct you to the essay in preparation for Yom Kippur, where Rabbi Bar Sadok and then my commentary about it that deals with that phrase and why we do it seven times. But yes, that's very much what's being discussed here. Did you want to ask a question, Jeanette?
Oh, yeah, we think that as God put Adam to sleep to get his wolf out, that was the first anesthesia without matter. And actually, the Bible has no record of him waking up. So from then on, it's caught in a dream.
Well, the term that's used in Kabbalah is a Greek word, dormita. Mm-hmm. And dormita means falling asleep. And it's really a process of the inner essence and the outer essence, mm-hmm, who are back to back, turning and facing each other. It's a process whereby the child grows to be an adult. So you're reading it literally when you think with what you've just said about being asleep, mm-hmm, and then never waking up, as it says, because dormita is a very clear process in Kabbalah. When you read things literally, like the word sleep, the Zohar elsewhere, Rabbi Shimon is very clear. The person who reads the Torah literally, or the Zohar literally, it's better that they had never been born, because they're making mistakes that will corrupt the teachings and draw people away, further away from Hashem. The next verse is 203. Et hatzela da aspaklaria dehala nahara kada'a utzali samchu v'ne'esahu asher lakach min ha'adam begin deha mitorah shebaktiv shebiktav naafkat le'isha le'itkashra b'shal chova da'astar shema la deha orita misitra diglura Ityahenat vat leisha lemehewe yesh Hashem katir bachada. The rib is the mirror that does not shine, which is malchut. As it is written in Sali, my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered. The word indicates opaque glass, which needs correcting. The words, the rib that he took from man, mean that he took malchut out of the written Torah, which is there unpinned. Because woman originates in the malchut of the written Torah. To the woman indicates her connection with the flames of the left side. Torah, namely Zeronpin, was given from the side of Gevurah, which is related to the Nukva. The word for woman, Isha, is derived from Esh, meaning fire, or the side of Gevurah, and Hay, indicating the Nukva to which the fire of Gevurah is connected, and they were burned, they are burned as one. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Are we caught in
testing? Hold on a second, Hannah.
Okay.
Let's ask you a question. Are we caught in Adam's dream? I don't understand your question. You're referring to what you said earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam did wake up, so that whole discussion we could have outside of this because it's...
Adam did wake up?
Yes.
Where?
In the word dormita, in the word sleep, it implies that he woke up. And here it says, the rib that he took from man, and because women originates in the malchut of the written Torah, meaning that there had to be this process of Adam, the woman coming out of Adam, and him waking up. It's all part of the word dormita.
Dormir in French means sleep.
Yes, I know. But sleep implies awake. It implies the opposite. Every word that has an opposite is hinting to the opposite all the time.
So as far as you're concerned, Adam is fully awake.
He went to sleep because when they are back to back at the original creation, there has to be a process that they turn face to face. That process is called dormita. That process takes place while they're asleep, but as soon as they're face to face, they're awake. It's the end of the process of dormita. It's also why when someone dies in their sleep, it's considered a great benefit. Positive situation. It's called the kiss because the opposite, the process completes with the leaving of the soul. Hannah, go ahead now.
I was wondering, you know, I know what's said about Ish and Isha, you know, man and woman, and related to fire, and you usually hear that little sermon at weddings, Jewish weddings. But when it says, meaning fire or the side of Gevurah and Hay, with the hay, I know it says the hay, indicating the hay, the nukva to which the fire of Gezurah is connected. Would that be the hay, the final hay of the Tetragrammaton?
No, it's actually...
Or the first hay of the spiritual world. Or just the hay.
Well, you're confusing some things.
Okay.
So look at the word Isha. Yud, Shin, Hey, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first two letters, Yud and Shin, it's Aleph, Shin, Hey. And the first two letters spell Esh. Fire represents, which is what the Hebrew word Esh is, fire mm-hmm. always represents the left column. And the top of the left column in the seven lower Sephirot is Gevurah. Now, in our world, we perceive Bina as being above Gevurah. But in reality, Bina consists of three components. And the top one is Gevurah of the higher level. Now, we don't normally speak of that. We all call it Bina. But Bina has three levels. And I try and remember because I just recently read it. I think it was in the... I think it's in the parasha of Chai Sarah. I think we've read it Saturday night, but if not Saturday night, it would be read this Thursday if we do a class on Thursday.
Okay.
But the understanding is that creation is based on judgment, on Gevurah. And it's only, as the Midrash says, when Hashem saw that we couldn't handle strict judgment, he injected mercy, and that's how we got to the lower level, where we have Chesed on top of Gevurah. And that's what this is referring to. When you talk about Isha, you're talking about the fire, which is Gevurah, and the hay, which is the lower hay of Malkut. But it has to go through Zeranpin. And in the going through of Zeranpin, that's where you have Adam, because Adam represents Zeranpin.
Okay.
But it's really saying that the hay is Nukva. In the language of Rabbi Ashlag here, it's saying that the lower hay is a partsuf unto itself. It's a completed structure. I'm not sure I'm answering your question. I may be confusing you.
No, you said it was the lower hay, and I have a glimpse of the meaning anyway. With what you said. I don't know that I could repeat it, but...
Well, in time, it'll be absorbed, and you'll be able to repeat it. Now, this statement, the woman originates in the Malchut of the written Torah. Well, the written Torah is Zeranpin. So the Malchut of the written Torah becomes the Keter of the physical world, the Keter of Malchut. And so that's how it's all tied together in that process.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think it's something that we thought about with seeing how Adam and Eve were you know, were created and how it relates to the creation of this Effie Road. It just, you know, I never thought of it that way anyway.
Well, I have said repeatedly, but nobody ever stresses it enough. When you read the Torah, we're talking about Sephiroth. We're not talking about the stories. We're not talking about personages. Every name, every personage in the Torah, in the written Torah, is related to a level of to the Sephiroth at a certain level. And so we have to always relate the stories in the Torah back to the Sephiroth, because they're really describing how the Sephiroth rise and fall relative to the other Sephiroth. Because that's what process means. It means the Sephiroth moving against each other in that concept of the cylinders that one within each other. So have I confused everybody sufficiently?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, we'll finish this session tomorrow.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes, Hannah, Esther.
I have two questions. The first one, and I'm sorry to ask this, can you just repeat again what is a nukva?
A nukva is a partsuch that is at the level of malchut. There are words like worlds, like sephirot, like partsuch or partsufim, and these are all corresponding structures. But there's differences because there's no synonyms in Hebrew. And trying to understand what is the difference between a world and a sephirah and a partsuch can be confusing. A partsuch is a complete structure of 10 sephirot. A sephirah is a vessel that transforms the infinite light of God to the finite levels of the physical world. It's a transformer that reduces the energy power. The world represents the light and the vessel together, although not always does the light totally fulfill the vessel in a world. That's why you can have a physical world that has darkness in it, because it doesn't have all of the light that fulfills every desire in that world. Another way of understanding the world is that the worlds represent multiple systems of Sephiroth, multiple consciousnesses that interrelate with each other. And while I know what I've just described to you is very confusing, in time it will be understandable.
Thank you.
And your second question?
My second question is, this week's Torah portion that we're reading, the essence is resurrection of the dead. So what Sephiroth are we talking about in this portion? Or am I not asking it correctly?
Well, you're asking a reasonable question in terms of the discussion I had with Hannah about always referencing Sephiroth. but you're implying that there's only one Sephirot. And within the story, you have Sarah, you have Abraham, who represent the body and the soul prior to the correction, and you have the birth of Isaac. And I believe at the end it's also references that the birth of Rebecca, because it mentions that somebody's maid gave birth, and that's a reference because the body after correction has to be resurrected, so it has to go through a different process. But so you can say, you know, you have Abraham representing Chesed, you have Sarah representing Malchut of Chesed, but you also have Sarah representing the physical world, the physical body. So another way of understanding the Sephirot is if you, this is Chai Sarah, which is the fourth, I believe. Let me think. We have Genesis.
It's the fifth one.
The fifth one. So this is the fifth world, the fifth Sephirot. It's representing the Malchut within the frame of Keter, because Genesis is the Keter for this written Torah. So when you talk about Sephirot, you need frames of references, and as I said, you could have multiple systems of Sephirot within the worlds. So the way you've asked the question is, while it's reasonable from the way I describe things to Pana, it's incomplete, because a parasha has many different aspects. So have I totally confused you?
No, just a little bit, but that's fine.
Sure.
I understand. Yeah, but just one quick thing. You said a world consists of all 10 Sephirot, correct?
No, I said the Partsuf consists of a complete structure of 10 Sephirot.
Okay.
I said a world consists of multiple systems of Sephirot. It's like you can be building a rocket ship, and you can be building a car. They both get built in the process of the four phases. They both get built in the process of the 10 Sephirot. But they're not the same, are they? They're two different systems.
Thank you, Hanan.
You're welcome. Everybody, if don't speak to you tomorrow, although I plan to, have a happy Thanksgiving. And our class tonight will be on the 10 luminous emanations, the Talmud Esther Sephirot, the detailed structure, the detailed information about the process of the infinite light of God coming into the physical world, how that transformation takes place through the Sephirot and through the worlds. So that's why it's so complicated. And as we said last week, this is a class that needs questions. So hopefully you'll bring your questions. Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.